in the New Testament, the wonderful blessing of knowing brothers in Christ and how we're supposed to interact with one another. And we started last week from Galatians chapter 6 on the challenge, verse 2, to bear ye one another's burdens, all right? That's a command. It's not something that I can, well, if I feel like it, I'll do it today. No. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is my biblical responsibility to you and your biblical responsibility to me to bear one another's burdens. Remember, this is in the context of the fruit of the Spirit. So walk with me real quick as we look, remind ourselves from last week what we studied. What do the fruits of the Spirit look like in real life? That's the question. We've just seen at the end of chapter 5 a list of the fruit of the Spirit. If I'm walking in the Spirit, again, verse 24, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, verse 25, let us also walk in the Spirit. So if I'm walking in the Spirit, how will I act? What will I think? Well, he goes on to make some explanation of that. This isn't a full description, but it is a key description. If you are walking in the Spirit, if the fruit of the Spirit is being born out in your life, the Spirit has reign in your life, you'll see these things happen in your life, and you'll want to do them, all right? Verse 1, a Spirit-led believer will meekly help heal a brother whom he discovers is trapped by sin. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, those that are being led by the Spirit, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. There's a character quality of the Spirit in your life. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Being careful to know that you could be tempted by that exact same sin. We parked there for a while last week. And then verse 2. So we see a Spirit-led believer, verse 1. Verse 2, a Spirit-fruitful believer will share the heavy load, there's your blank, the heavy load of a brother. And remember, this burden here is a burden, a sack, a rucksack, whatever, that's bigger than one person can carry. I am grateful, again, for a good church family that's faithful to the Lord. So we got word, Pastor Caleb called me Sunday night and said, Pastor, have you listened to the forecast? Not really. I'm on vacation, all right? he said, sounds kind of nasty. I'm concerned about the new tent. Oh, all right, let me check it out. Sure enough, it didn't take long. Oh, yeah, that's a problem. So I call the local weather forecast man that we have in our church, Bill. All right, Bill, what do you think? Is the forecast like it says on my app? Yep. Okay, all right. We got to get this tent taken down so it doesn't turn into a sale. All right. So they take the tent down. Well, as I think explained to you, when it came on the truck, the package with the frame and the tent, almost all the frame, not quite all the frame, and the tent was over 1,200 pounds. All right. Well, that's a burden. All right. A heavy burden. All right. No one guy is going to. And if he does, he's going to regret it. Try to pick that thing up, all right? I don't care how big or muscular you are, all right? And thankfully, I'll pick on Kevin. Kevin showed up yesterday to help, praise God, for a flexible schedule. And not only is he strong, but he's tall. And that worked out real well to lift that up to get the legs out, all right? I think we about crushed him, it sounds like, later on. Anyways, all right, I wasn't there, but the stories were good. Got the tent put down so that it was, I guess that was Monday afternoon. Got the tent put down so it didn't blow over. You can see the frame out there tonight. And it'll get, Lord willing, put up for Sunday, all right? I got that all. We're working on all those details. That's the heavy burden, something that's way too much for someone to carry. And we have been called by God to help one another carry their burdens. One of the heaviest burdens that I've had in my life is the loss of my first wife. I will tell you that the burden was able to be carried in my life for numerous reasons, but one of the big ones was because the church family held me up. You may not realize it, but church family, you've held me up since I've been here with those things. You've been kind and gracious to me, encouraged my heart, encouraged my second wife and our family. You've loved us, haven't looked at us weird. Well, at least not to our face, thank you. All right, okay. Good, all right. And that's bearing one another's burdens. Now, that's what we might consider a big one, but there are many big burdens in all of our lives that we come alongside each other. And I look at lives here and I see burdens, and I see that church family has come along. That's what we're supposed to do. Not just in our nuclear family, all right, moms and dads and kids, but our church family that really ought to be born out on a regular basis. And again, I'm preaching to the choir tonight because you folks are the faithful. You're the often ones that are doing that this exact thing. Keep it up. That's pleasing to God. That's a demonstration of the Spirit being fruitful in your life. And that should bring joy to your heart. When God helps you to do that, God's working in your life. It should rejoice you. Okay, so we go on then, verse number 3. And this is where we left off last week. Verse 3, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. We find here a simple and clear warning, verse 3. A Spirit-filled, all right, someone who's controlled by the Spirit, a Spirit-filled believer, even when doing the work of verses 1 and 2, all right, helping a brother that's been trapped by sin, helping a brother that has a big burden and you're helping him carry it, even that person will never view himself as special. There's your blank, as special. To put it maybe in picturesque term, verse 1, I'm the chief counselor here. You all come to me because I have a secret to God that I can share with you. All right, I'm special. That's a spirit-filled, controlled believer will never, never, ever think that. Verse 2, I'm the Christian Atlas around here. Let me carry your burdens. I'm the great burden bearer. All right? We will never do that. And in fact, we often, as we're utterly controlled by the Spirit of God, when we counsel people, we know I can be tempted. I can fall just as easy as they can. I'm really, by helping that person, encouraging my heart to stay faithful to the Lord. When I'm helping someone bear their burden, I'm no one special. I'm only doing what's required of a servant to do to my Lord and Savior. And grateful when someone comes along and carries a burden with me too, with my burden. It's a warning because, believers, let us be honest about who we are. We are all filled with pride. We have a tendency to be self-centered. And so even in our service and ministry, we can think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. And so God always gives a warning. Yes, you can take on the aura of being somebody special, but that's sinful always. Now, does that mean you shouldn't do your job? Or you shouldn't, you know, if you're called, if you have a gift, that you, well, I got to stay, you know, I got to have this false sense of humility about me. No. Do your work. Let the Spirit use you. Please, don't be afraid to jump in. I'm grateful for people that use their skills and abilities to serve the Lord here and elsewhere. But never do it out of a sense of this is mine, of ownership, or out of a sense of I'm pretty good at this. I'm the answer guy. No. We need to be Spirit-filled. I'm not superior, I'm not above or over anybody, I'm not better than. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And that God can use me is an amazing thing. That is the spirit of a Spirit-filled believer in his ministry. All right? And then verses 4 and 5. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Now, at first blush, verse 4 and 5 look like he just is stating the exact opposite of what he just said in verse 3 and what he just said in verse 2. It's like, wait a second. Verse 3, I shouldn't think of myself to be something when I'm really nothing. The Spirit-filled believer knows that he's nothing. It's only the work of God. And if I think I'm something, I've deceived myself. That's verse 3. I'm lying to myself if I think I'm something. But now he says, prove yourself. And you can have rejoicing, joy in yourself alone and not in another? And then he goes on, verse 5, every man should bear his own burden. Didn't he just say in verse 2, we should help each other bear their burdens? What's going on? All right, here's our explanation in verse 4 and 5. I'll give you the fill in the blanks and then we'll talk about it a little bit. A Spirit-controlled, and this is really important again, this is someone under God's control, a Spirit-controlled believer will gladly carry his weight. He will be responsible. There's your blank. He will be responsible. And so I'm going backwards. That's verse 5. All right. A spirit-controlled believer will gladly carry his weight and know his worth. Two W words in this one, weight, worth, although the blank is responsible and worth. All right. And know his worth before God. So let's break it apart just a moment. Every man shall bear his own burden in verse 5. The word burden there speaks of a pack, much like we would consider in our day and age a backpack. Now, you can get a lot of books in a backpack, and it can become pretty heavy, but it's generally carried by one person. What is he talking about? Each of us have been given responsibilities. Some of it clearly is gifted by the Holy Spirit. Remember, the context here is the Spirit's work in the believer's life and how it's lived out. There are gifts, I think I've told you, but I was not a natural youth pastor. I didn't see that as a part of my just natural human abilities, can I put it that way? But when God called me into youth ministry and left me there, that sounds bad, it was a glorious time, for 20 years, it became very apparent in my life as I evaluated what was going on that the only way ministry was getting done through this youth pastor was because the Spirit of God was doing it. And he called me to be very responsible about it, all right? I've called you to be a youth pastor. Anderson, you better get at it. I needed to pick up my pack and go with it. Now, I will tell you, there were some things in youth ministry that I never enjoyed. I'm being honest with you now. Teens love all-nighters. They're nuts. What? I mean, it's nighttime. Ought men to sleep? All right. All right. But did I do all-nighters? Yeah, for 20 years. All right. I limited them to usually once a year. Oh, they would beg, they would beg, they would beg. Pastor Anderson, or Pastor Dave, please, please, please. Once a year. You better come, because it's the only time we're going to do it, and you better be good the whole night. But guaranteed, all right, the ones that complain the most, just an aside, usually about, at the most, at the latest in the morning, or earliest in the morning, or no latest in the morning, 3:30. They're all, like, wilting. They're up against. And so who stays up all night? The youth pastor. All right. Anyways, but even though I personally hated all-nighters, it was never pleasant. I felt that there was ministry to be accomplished through those opportunities. And so with the Lord's help and empowerment and encouragement by the Spirit, because it wasn't my spirit, I think the Lord helped us accomplish some things spiritually on those nights. And no one killed themselves, at least. All right? I'll stop there. I want to tell more stories, but I won't. You can ask me later, okay? That was the Lord's work. Does you understand? There was a pack that I needed to pick up. It was a biblical responsibility for me. I better do it and do it well. God has given you responsibilities. Do them. Which one of them is this? To bear one another's burdens. You may not like to bear somebody else's burden. It may not be your forte. No, your cup of tea. But it's your responsibility. Do it. Now, back to verse 4 then. So, a spirit-controlled believer will gladly carry his weight, verse 5, but then know his worth before God. You see, as I test, that's the word prove, test and evaluate my life, and know that the work of God is being accomplished through me, I can joy to know that God is finding a servant capable of doing the work that he's given me the power to do. It is not wrong, believer, for you to work for the Lord for the reward that you'll receive. I've run across believers at times that really felt like, no, I just should do it because it's right. And I don't, please don't ever say my name. Pastor, I don't want you to do those things. and it was, as I came to learn at times, some of that was a false sense of humility, where it was not understanding that God wants you to joy and rejoice in a future reward for serving him faithfully. Now, here's the kicker of verse 4, all right? Who evaluates my worth, me or God? God, thank you, all right? We know the answer right away. Therefore, I must, in my spirit submission, submitting to the Spirit of God in my life, evaluate my worth, not according to the dictates of culture or according to the dictates of anybody who loves me and they always want to say nice things about me. I must, and I can only evaluate my life according to what God says about me. And part of the reason he's given us his word is so that when we stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ one day, we won't have to stand there and say, "Oh, you didn't give me the answers. Come on, teacher." I mean, I know we wouldn't address God that way, but you understand the illustration. No. We have all the answers we need for life and godliness. Where's that reference? 2 Peter 1:3. I can, I ought to, with the discerning of the Spirit of God, evaluate my life before the Lord and say, "Lord, am I living a life worthy of future reward? Or are there areas in my life where I need to get going and pick up my pack and do my responsibility?" You see, I must, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, examine myself. Now, that's a reference directly to the Lord's Supper. But it's important for us regularly to say, "Lord, all right, how am I doing? Take the word of God." Now, this is not an emotional, and it's hard for us, I realize. That's why you have the word of God to guide your thinking. By the way, that's why you have one another to bear one another's burdens. One of the saddest things in Christian interrelationships is when verse 1, I come alongside a brother or sister who is very apparent trapped in a sin. And I tried to give a word of encouragement, knowing I could fall too. Yet knowing it's my biblical responsibility to say, "Sister, brother, here's the word of God." And to see them reject that. Rejecting their responsibility before the Lord. I trust that will never be the testimony in my life, although I can tell you there have been times in the past it has. I'm a sinner too. And that God in his grace and mercy would arrest my life and stop me from going down further the path of sin was his grace, the work of the Spirit of God. And so we evaluate our life carefully by the very word of God. You counsel someone, don't give them your thoughts, give them the word. You come alongside a brother that needs encouragement, don't give them your encouragement, give them the word. So that they can pick up their pack, carry their burden, know their value and worth before the Lord, and be able to realign their life according to the word of God. We will give account one day. My worth comes only from what God says is worthwhile in my life. May God help me and help you to be worthy before the Lord as you let the fruit of the Spirit be born in your life. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for the time in your word tonight. I find it amazing how often your word, in such succinct fashion, gives us so much to chew on and to live out. So, Lord, help us to bear one another's burdens, to help brothers and sisters who are trapped by sin, but to never think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. We are, literally, the Word of God says so, nothing. Our only value and worth comes before the Lord when the Spirit of God is doing his work and we're aligning our life with the truth, doing our responsibilities our pack that God has given to us as we understand it from the Word of God. So help us to be faithful in following you, in bearing one another's burdens. In your name, amen.